listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends in Christ, this is our last Sunday in the book of Romans. Next week, we'll be meeting next door with our Methodist neighbors. We're actually going to worship in their sanctuary. So that's just a little quick announcement here at the beginning. And then after that, we'll be back here on September the 10th. And we'll start back on the top shelf, back in the book of Genesis, back at the beginning as we go through the entire Bible for another year together. So this is the last time we get to hear Paul for a little while, at least as our lesson on Sunday morning. At the beginning of this new school year, some of you are going off to college. Some of you are starting fourth grade or other grades. Teachers are now well back into their classrooms. Perhaps others are entering graduate school or other programs. And others, maybe it feels like these days are just same old, not a whole lot of difference in terms of schedule. But here we are. September is looming. The weather is hot. Hurricanes are hammering the Gulf Coast in this time. Tension continues in our world and in our headlines. Let's make the best of this lesson. This is a good lesson for us today that Sam read. Let's see what Paul has to say. Paul, I will remind you, is writing to the Romans, the Roman Christians, but he's not in Rome as he's writing this letter. Scholars are pretty positive that he was writing from far away, like you would when you write a letter to someone that you care about. They think Paul was probably writing this letter from Corinth, which is in Greece. So that's a long way in the ancient world, a long way from Rome. It was probably the mid-50s, so 20 years after Jesus' earthly ministry. The Roman Christians, remember, lived on the outskirts of Rome. Got to go there a couple years ago, so I saw these neighborhoods. These were the outer regions of Rome. They were not on the beautiful hills. They were across the tracks, so to speak. I shared pictures of these neighborhoods a little while back. Trastevere was one of the Christian neighborhoods, and Testaccio and the Jewish ghettos. These were Jewish Christians as well. These weren't fancy places. These weren't the Roman imperial halls of power. These were in the shadows. These were the immigrant neighborhoods. These are the neighborhoods that would flood right now, you know, that we're seeing on the news. That's the types of places that these were. They don't have the infrastructure or the resources. These were rough parts of town. Think about San Diego. Think about if you have a friend moving here. You'd advise them to move into some neighborhoods, and you'd probably advise them to maybe think twice about moving into some other neighborhoods. We all know what those neighborhoods are. They often don't have great school districts and top schools. There's probably more crime in those neighborhoods. The houses are cheap, but there's a reason why. Neighborhoods like this is where the early Christians were. That's where Paul's writing his letter. And to complicate things even more, there were tensions among those Christians that were living in those rough neighborhoods. You see, the first Christians that were there were the Jewish Christians, the ones who had been Jewish. Think the disciples, they were Jews, grew up Jewish, and then they started following after this Jesus. They started believing and following after Jesus. He had changed everything for them, but they still had their roots. You always have your roots with you. It's really hard to divorce your roots. How do you shed that, those rituals and those religious practices that have always been with you? I think about people who grew up Catholic, you know, still are very used to crossing themselves as they enter into the Lutheran pew, right? We don't practice that so much as Lutherans, but the Roman, how do you shed your roots? It's really hard. So you have these Jewish Christians, and those Jewish Christians were actually expelled from Rome under several different emperors, but particularly Claudius. They had reportedly been too aggressive in their missionary efforts. So that's encouraging, right? As we challenge ourselves to be more aggressive in our missionary outreach into the world, well, this is what happens to you. You get expelled from your city. Some of these Jewish Christians were exiled from Rome, but Christianity didn't die. Paul was evangelizing Gentiles as well, remember? That's so much of his work is talking about this isn't just for the Jewish people and the Jewish Christians. This is beyond that into the Gentile world. So when the Jewish Christians were expelled from their neighborhoods, as rough as those were, that was their home. Other Christians moved into those neighborhoods. And then when the Jewish Christians were allowed to return, who are these Christians? Who are these people? There was some tension. There was some struggle going on there. Under Nero, the Jewish Christians came back. And so there was this struggle between the Jewish Christians with the tradition of the ancestors and all that ritual and practice, and then these new people who didn't give. This is not unlike the situation of Christian congregations nowadays. You think about congregational life, you have longtime members. People have always been there. This is how we do it. Who do you think you are coming in here with something new? And you have newer members. They don't have the same kind of roots. They don't have the same kind of history. They don't have the same kind of shared experiences. They don't have knowledge of the traditions and the rituals that we've always done. Who do they think they are? Heather and I have a good friend named Kari. Who would tell us stories. It's funny when the stereotypes don't always line up maybe with what you're thinking. We used to tell these stories. When we were in our 20s, Kari was a Cradle Lutheran, and her congregation in Sacramento was adopting the new red hymnals that we have. They now feel like kind of older hymnals to us, but we've had them for a couple years. But there was a time not too long ago when they were brand new, and the congregation was debating pretty vociferously about whether or not we should get these hymnals. And I remember Kari being so upset with the older people in the congregation because they wanted to get the new hymnals. And she said, "All these old people have no sense of Lutheran tradition and liturgy." She would rant. I find it funny when the stereotypes are kind of burst. Newer members aren't necessarily younger members. Newer members sometimes are physically older than long-time traditionalists. But this isn't about age. Anyway, you get the conflict, right? You got old-timers versus new blood. We have this here, too. I remember when I first got to Shepherd the Valley. I felt that a little bit. Still do sometimes. I think it's totally normal. Who is this whippersnapper? He's going to try to change everything. Then I want to keep certain things, you know. So this is the kind of stuff that Paul is addressing. And what does he say? Set some context, I think, for our lesson today. What does Paul say? Talk about a unifying message. He says, "I appeal to you, sisters and brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies in the midst of the conflict, whatever that conflict is, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Paul is challenging them and us to come at our differences in a different way. If we were to conform to the world, we'd be building dividing walls, and we would be trying to take down our opposition, even with violence. Be that spiritual violence. You're not as holy as I am, so you don't know. That's violent behavior. Maybe it's psychological violence. Maybe it's social violence, trying to harm reputations, and God forbid, even physical violence. Sadly, that's conforming to the world. But Paul invites transformation, the renewing of our minds with God's help and the Holy Spirit's infusion. How might we in our day, not just in the church, and I don't sense deep division here, I'm just preaching on this particular text, but I think it's a good message for us still. How might we be more open to God's presence in our midst, in our decision making, in our planning for the future, in our relating to one another, in our accepting newcomers, different ideas, in our honoring long-timers, in our listening to one another, the holy process of renewing our minds. How might we open ourselves even more into that as we move into a new season in so many ways? Paul goes on, "For by grace, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you," he says with confidence, but only under God's grace, he says, "to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think." We could stop right there and sit with that for a while. I think we all sometimes can think a little bit more highly of ourselves as we ought to think. A little humility would be good for us. A little forgiveness, a little grace, a little kindness. Having received this grace, we're all under this grace of God. Then he goes on, "So think with sober judgment." This is what sets us apart from our animal siblings, all the other creatures. We can think with sober judgment. We have the ability to slow down our reaction to things. Thank God. The rest of nature, as far as we can tell, react with fight or flight, either running away or taking on controversy, conflict, aggressively. Human beings, on the other hand, have the ability, even while we too have these natural instincts and can act on them, this fight or flight, we can slow down. God has blessed us with the ability to think with sober judgment and to respond to anxious situations calmly and carefully, even lovingly. Let the fires cool. 24 hours is a good idea. Think about it for 24 hours before you come back, before you respond. Non-anxious presence, deep breaths, sometimes that's all it takes. Fills the blood with oxygen and opens up the blood vessels. It's exactly what we need physically in order to think clearly and with sober judgment. Paul calls us into that. Paul reminds us that we have this ability. This is a gift. This is grace working out for us as well. Think with sober judgment. And then Paul, as he deals with Christians in conflict, he concludes this reading with a celebration of diversity. What an interesting term. A celebration of diversity. Difference actually makes us stronger. What if we were all just prophets? Or we were all just cheerful? It'd be pretty boring. It'd be a pretty boring place in the church and in the world. But God has made us different, sisters and brothers in Christ. God brings us into the fellowship of the church in all different ways and at all different times. Everybody brings something of value to the table. I remember when I realized that Pentecost, we're in the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. I remember having a conversation about Pentecost one time at a conference, and I realized that Pentecost, with all that diversity, was the original state of Christ's church. We've gotten away from that somehow over the years, over the centuries, but remember that first Pentecost? It's not like diversity is some place that we need to get to, some destination that we've never been to before, and we're kind of aiming for that. We were mourning that a little bit. I know Lutheran churches do this a lot. We look around and we're like, whoa, we all look the same. What's going on? What can we do about this? As if we haven't been there before. We need to go to this place of more diversity. But remember back to the beginning, it's the original state. On the Pentecost, you had the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and the Mesopotamians and the Greeks and the Arabs and the Jews. Think just for a second about all the different skin colors that would have been present in that room in the first Pentecost. This is not a new idea. This is the original idea. This is the original picture of the church. And this is how Paul ends this conversation about conflict. We could go back as far as the Garden of Eden. It's the same idea. Biodiversity, ethnodiversity, cultural, sexual, religious, national diversity. This is how we were created. And God celebrates this and calls it good. My studies in biology taught me how much healthier diversity is as opposed to like a monoculture. You just can't get much growth that way. So this is how God makes us. So we celebrate difference today. Paul celebrates difference. I love these very different quilts as a visual for us up here. They don't match. So what? The one body in Christ has many parts, many different members, lots of diversity, all kinds of different talents and skills and ideas and experiences to bring to the table. With the gifts of humility and patience and kindness from the Holy Spirit, with all this diversity, sisters and brothers in Christ, we thrive. This is a gift of grace. Grace today is enfleshed in our diversity. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!